Anthony Loiker is with us. He's a partner at Deloitte, I'm assuming he's still. Hey, Anthony, it's good to talk with you again. Tēnā koe, man. Ngā mihi.
Nice to talk to you too.
Still love Auckland, eh? You're still here? I bet you've been tempted to go to Melbourne, though. I bet you've had a look at the job listings in Melbourne and Brisbane. Have you, Anthony?
Oh, I haven't, Dale, but I might do now.
Oh, why?
Because you just mentioned it.
Oh, cut it out, Anthony. We love it, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves why we do love it. Why, you know, everyone else is, but everyone's bailing out and going to the sunny land of sand, but we're staying here. What is it that keeps you in Tāmaki Makaurau, Anthony Ruakere?
Yeah, well, I guess first and foremost, Dale, you know, the grass isn't always greener. The things that keep me here are, well, first and foremost, proximity to whānau. You know, whilst I'm from Taranaki and the East Coast, you know, Auckland is certainly a lot closer to those places than is Melbourne or anything further afield. But I also have real, you know, a real passion and enthusiasm for what we can actually do here in Tāmaki and the untapped opportunity that exists for us as Māori, as Pacifica, as Aucklanders, and, you know, as citizens of Aotearoa more generally, eh?
Yeah, I'd sometimes have a think about it, and I'm like you too, mate. It's whānau that keep us here, and a genuine love of the land. Is that you as well? You know, as Māori, yeah. We sort of feel we feel the whenua.
Yeah, we do, and you know, we do have obviously an innate connection to our own whenua. You know, and again, mine being in Taranaki and Ngāti Porou. But also, I think it's really important. You know, I've lived in Tāmaki for many years now, and I also, you know, as Māori, we also understand the connection that mana whenua, that tangata whenua here have, and support that connection. Indeed, you know, I was just speaking at an event that we're holding right now to launch this State of the City report, and as I always do, and I make reference to mana whenua here and the responsibilities, the obligations, that what they deliver to, or how they manaaki people living on their own whenua. And so, yeah, it is a very important connection, Dale.
Okay, the state of the city. So it could be better, obviously, thriving in culture and livability, but why is it not translating into productivity gains, do you think?
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, we talk about Auckland's, in the report, we talk about Auckland's livability advantage. But, you know, that advantage relies on the ability of residents, people who live here, to enjoy all the opportunities that a city has to offer. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, you know, are those opportunities being offered to all Aucklanders equitably, fairly, and in ways that translate into, you know, the greatest possible productivity gains? And the answer to that is either probably not or no. You know, one of the main reasons why our culture, for example, isn't translating into those productivity gains is that we're not acting as a city as if culture is actually an advantage. You know, we look at things like, you know, our cultural identity. Now, cultural identity is a key economic asset, and it should therefore remain a strong focus for a whole lot of reasons, including, you know, that a strong cultural scene attracts global talent, you know, and that global talent drives the knowledge economy. A cultural diversity sparks innovation. And these aren't words that just sound good. These are words that, you know, global evidence and research tells us are true. You know, diverse communities bring fresh perspectives and connections, and that leads to collaboration and just new ways of doing business.
So in the State of the City report, how might this biggest Polynesian city in the world be celebrated more, both in attracting tourists or attracting people who recognise that this is a core tenet in the, you know, in a modern global city? Culture is important to us. Should it be important to all?
This is a really good part, and yes, it should be important to all, and not necessarily for the reasons that some might think. You know, a diverse, a strong and diverse cultural background, as I've just inferred, actually drives a stronger economy, you know. And so, for example, a city that has a really strong, a really clear cultural identity and celebrates that uniqueness attracts tourism. And tourism, as we know, is really good for the economy. But if we dig a bit deeper into that, Dale, and we think about how, over and above tourism, how Māori and Pacific contribute to that growing economy and innovation, you know, there are opportunities for us to really lean more heavily into that space. Because, you know, look, as I think last time we talked about, you know, nationally, Māori comprise 1 in 5 people, or under the age of 25, sort of 1 in 3. In Auckland, that proportion under the age of 24 is about 17%. But in respect of our Pacifica whanaunga, it's 25%. So 1 in 4 Aucklanders under 25 are Pacifica. Now, that's a significant chunk, you know, of our city's young, technologically connected, socially mobile, and motivated population that can either be enabled as a source of prosperity or not. And you know, back to your question around whether, you know, that cultural identity is important. Well, that's the choice that we have to make. We can either take that significant chunk of Māori and Pacifica, technologically, socially mobile and enabled and motivated people, and we can use them as a real economic handover, real economic lever to success, or we can choose to not do it. You know, and there are lots of things that inform why people will make the choice to do or not to do that.
We want to attract people here, but then we don't necessarily want to import their own ways. I'm thinking now of people who can come in and one example is you know, buy media companies and then have a big say in the way that New Zealand issues are presented. So there's a nervousness here as we look at the state of this city. What are your thoughts of us perhaps presenting a shiny brown face that masks a dusty reality? It's not exactly, you know, we can put the kōrewai on and welcome guests into town, but, you know, out in the south side, Clendon, Manurewa, you know, harsh realities for our people calling Auckland home. Thoughts of that nature, please, Anthony.
That's a really good point, and it's something that you know, that I've certainly advocated for is to get under the hood and not just present the things, not just present or live the things that are culturally convenient or that are, you know, that are culturally appealing to others, whilst at the same time our people continue to suffer, you know, to the extent that our employment rates are, you know, are incredibly low relative to non-Māori. So, again, I think it probably, at least in part, Dale, comes back to that question of understanding the latent value that exists in that really chunky brown young population that lives in our city. And you know, that's the generation, or those generations beyond there, are the generations that are going to turn that dusty brown interior, if you like, into a really shiny brown exterior to go alongside the shiny cultural exterior. So, you know, those things go hand in hand, and they aren't mutually exclusive. And in fact, as I said, I think that if we focus our investment efforts in that younger generation, acknowledging that, you know, that the city is Māori, it's Pacifica, it's Asian, and it's European, then we'll get much more bang for our buck out of it.
We talk about productivity, and all of us who travel the motorways, hey Anthony, I'm thinking constantly, Jesus, this is just lost productivity. We're all sitting here just inching our way forward around town. How much of a barrier to the economic growth that we deserve is our transport system that at the moment sees us constantly gridlocked?
Yeah, it's a massive factor. You know, I think, and there are multiple layers to it. And if I focus on the co-proper of this particular conversation, you know, a layer to be considered here is that, you know, many of our people, Māori and Pacifica, are the ones who live, you know, further down or along those motorways, and so they are the ones who are either constrained by their ability to get in a car and drive those long distances to the motorway, or similarly constrained in their ability to use the public transport system, which is well known, well documented, is an area that we can continue to improve on. So the impacts are there for everybody, but proportionally, the impacts for our people are arguably greater.
Well, I grew up in, a quarter acre Pavlova paradise, mate, in a state house, albeit. But nowadays we're seeing across the city a massive change in demographics, Anthony, compromising our position here and our population. I see Indian Chinese populations are starting to eclipse Māori and Pacifica. And that's not necessarily a negative, but you know, I live in a community where everywhere I look are these five homes being whacked up into formerly one-sized block. I don't know who's living in the houses, but it doesn't make for a better community, I don't think, and it feels at times like environmental vandalism. As we look at our city and say how livable it is, do you think we're running the risk of trying to be too big for our boots?
It's an interesting proposition, Dale, but I don't know that we're necessarily trying to become bigger before our time, but we're becoming bigger in less organized and integrated ways, you know, and to the point of thinking about our, you know, our immigrant communities, you know, I understand the kōrero around that, but at the same time, I'd like to take myself back to the time of British arrival here. And the understanding by our people in 1840, in the time leading up to 1840, that actually there is real benefit, there's real opportunity in what was at that time the settler economy, settler technology, settler innovation, and we had the ability to draw on that, to learn from it, to benefit from it, much in the same way that the settler community back then wanted somewhere easy, underpopulated, relatively temperate in order to call home and benefit similarly. So I like to, you know, apply the same principle to our immigrant communities and Manaaki and enable their settlement here such that we can all grow and live together from that. So that's, I guess, my, you know, my starting point there. But you know, the point around growth in ways that make sense, that is integrated, that allows us to be better connected, and ultimately become or to continue to grow as a develop as a livable city is important.
We'll soon have the loop, which might create better opportunities too, rather than the train stopping at the Britomart. So there's some good things going on. Joining us today, Anthony Roykett is from Deloitte. They were part of putting together this report, the State of the City report, and some interesting kōrero to share with us today. Thanks very much, Anthony. Look forward to another kōrero soon.
Likewise,
Ewa. Tēnā koe. Ngā mihi.